Have any of you watched, I'm going to guess that maybe only one person has, but have any of you watched Bob's Burgers?
No. I have, yeah.
Okay. Jaffe, have you?
Jaffe's dead.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Right. There was just a terrorist attack in New York. An airplane hit his apartment building.
It's funny because
it just keeps happening.
He froze with this little smug "I'm listening" look on his face, which made it hard to tell that he wasn't working anymore. Well, I got to wait for Alex Jaffe to come back to share this information, which I assume will eventually happen.
Oh my God, I was trying to hold my face still like that for a minute, and it started to hurt my head.
I'll see if I can do it.
Oh.
Yeah, my neck starts to go, is what happened. I just can't keep my neck still for that long.
You know, I once heard a physical trainer say, if you want to learn all about training your muscles, try standing with perfect posture for 5 minutes, or holding any posture at all for exactly 5 minutes. Be very conscious and try not to move. And you become quickly very exhausted. You don't realize how many, until then, you don't realize how many micro adjustments your whole body is doing over the course of a day.
Yeah, I was...
or a minute even.
Having some thoughts and conversations about why Arnold Schwarzenegger became like the muscle guy that we liked in big movies instead of anybody else. And I think, first of all, he is truly, actually a better actor than some of those other guys. And also him being so weird helps.
Uh-huh.
But he can really hold poses because he was a bodybuilder. And I think that's like in Conan, he doesn't know really how to do sword fighting. I'm sure they taught him for the movie, but sword fighting is not his main thing. But he can like hold a pose in a really impressive way and he doesn't move after he does it. And I think that was like a big selling point for him.
Yeah, when he's doing the sword swings, the practice swings.
Yeah, he just holds it and then it's like, oh man, that dude's really good.
Looks cool as heck, yeah.
Guy I'm was back.
Cool. Well, now in the modern era, we've invented, the dramatic community has invented a bunch of muscle dudes who are also charismatic and funny. So that's a weird development, I guess.
Yeah, but we don't have those kinds of movies anymore.
We don't. It's a shame. It's a shame because it's like, I don't know, Jason Momoa played Conan the Barbarian in that 2012 Conan the Barbarian movie, which actually wasn't so bad, everybody. Don't make fun of me. It was okay. It's a very different thing from the John Milius film because John Milius is nuts. And for some reason, they wanted to make it more faithful to the stories, which for somebody like me is a real giddy up, right? So I don't know. And it was just kind of, it wasn't good enough. It was just kind of wasted on, but the whole experience was like, oh, this guy from Game of Thrones, he'd be real good as Conan in a Conan movie, which is kind of how every movie is nowadays, is you watch a movie and then you're like, wow, I would watch a movie like this.
Yeah,
you know,
it's and true. It's like, that happens so often. I'll be watching something and I'll be like, yeah, I'd watch a good one of these for sure if they made one.
Yeah. That Jason Momoa was right there and he was like the perfect Conan. He kind of embodied the literary character extremely well. He had the muscles, he had the sardonic humor.
He had the hair, he had the eyebrows.
If this movie was good, it would rule.
Yeah.
Oh. So Jaffe, have you seen Bob's Burgers as well?
I have seen Bob's Burgers, yes.
Okay. All right, so my question for the two people that have seen it, based on the characters in the show, who do you think, maybe you already know the answer, but who do you think has been indicted for being at the January 6th riots?
Oh, I know this one.
Okay, you know, then Frank has to guess.
Well, like, sorry, like fictionally, the characters?
So based on the characters, which voice actor do you think was truly...
Which voice actor?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
Bob.
No. It wasn't Bob, thankfully.
The burger.
That's right.
It's the burger. That's my answer. I think it's the burger. I'm going with the burger.
Okay.
It might be hard to remember the names.
Well, the weird guy with the skull cap.
Teddy?
Teddy?
Customer Teddy, yeah.
It's not...
That's a good guess.
It's a good guess, but it's not Teddy. It's Jimmy Pesto, the one actual
that
jerk.
That was my other guess.
On the show.
Yeah, that was my other one. All right.
Yeah, so he's no longer on the show because he is...
Is he also the tall guy who was on Mr. Show? Who was it?
Yes, it's Jay Johnson from Mr. Show.
Okay. Yeah,
that goddamn guy. Something messed up. Something happened to that guy.
Yeah.
Every one of these cartoons has to have a Mr. Show guy in it, right? You've got SpongeBob, you've got Mr. Peanut Butter, whatever else, right? So, so Bob's Burgers' choice of Mr. Show guy, that's probably has a lot to explain with why I didn't, I've never seen Bob's Burgers.
That's how David Cross ended up in those M&M commercials. We need a Mr. Show guy.
Yeah, they needed a Mr. Show guy. Well, I guess David Cross isn't a... He's not a Mr. Show guy anymore. He's not.
I think there's only the one bad one from Mr. Show.
He's not the one.
David Cross has had he's had some weird stuff. As well.
I mean, I don't want to get into David Cross's weird stuff, but have you seen his stand-up special that he did on Netflix a few years ago?
No.
Oh Lord,
I haven't seen his stand-up since the Bush era.
It was
it's still there.
Yeah, it's still around, but I'm not even talking about anything problematic or cancelable or toxic or whatever. It was just real lame.
Yeah.
I saw Bob Odenkirk stand up at the Whiskey A Go-Go in
that's a place.
Los Angeles. And there were like 40 people and it was not hard to get a ticket.
That's how you do it.
Well before anything
popular aside from he had only done Mr. Show.
Okay, that explains it.
At that point, yeah. this was like 2003.
Mm.
Yeah, he signed the ticket for me. It says my shoes hurt,
which is a quote from Mr. Show.
Correct.
Yeah,
yeah, it's one of those references. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
it's good to make a reference.
I did not realize it at the time. Because I didn't like Mr. Show, and I only went because my friend was coming.
Why didn't you like Mr. Show? I like how you managed to get to the end of this story before
revealing that I didn't like all Mr.
the
way. Show.
This is what suffices for character development in Brandon Sheffield's the year 2024. He's managed to reach the end of a little anecdote before saying, "I wasn't even there because I wanted to be."
Yeah.
So that's
built up to it.
It got all the way to the end. Instead of, 20 years ago, Brandon would have absolutely said that first and then an hour later told the story. I was at this stupid place I didn't want to go yesterday. And then an hour later, let me tell you about the Mr. Show reference that happened at the end of it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know about an hour, but that gives too much credit to my ability to remember what I was talking
about.
You'd
be doing other stuff for an hour, sure. And then you'd go, oh, remember how I mentioned a stupid thing?
I think that part of it was, so I was working with my high school film group, and we were making little high school films. Two of them were way into Mr. Show and trying to insert that into our stuff, and I hadn't watched it. And then I watched it, and I was like, man, this isn't that good. It's not good enough to put all the jokes into our own stuff. We should just be putting the Simpsons jokes in here.
Simpsons jokes are there's a certain thing going on with those. What you got to do is you got to watch the story of Everest. Have you seen the story of Everest?
Mm-hmm.
You know that this one.
Heck
Frank?
Of a sketch. Heck of a sketch. Yeah.
I think that's the funniest thing in the world.
If I put real thought into it and had all the hits in front of me, I might determine that that's Tim's favorite. Like I can see
that. I've mentioned on the show before that I do this Russian roulette thing every year with my friends where we watch random Simpsons episodes until we get sick of it. Mm-hmm. This year we did it with a twist where we backed every Simpsons episode with the corresponding Family Guy episode. And we were only allowed to stop when we all unanimously decided the Family Guy was better than the Simpsons.
Oh, interesting. Oh, man. Interesting.
Well, then, so that just happens in later seasons is what happens, I assume.
Well, it was tricky because there have only been 22 seasons of Family Guy. So we could only pick from the first 22 seasons of The Simpsons.
So I thought you were saying the corresponding episode is in like the exact same plot, and that didn't even faze me. I'm like, yeah, it makes sense.
I thought you meant the same week.
Go on.
That would be too easy.
Even less overlap.
That would be way too easy. Yeah. But yeah, it took us 9 tries. Eventually we got to one where Marge is just committing domestic abuse on Homer through the whole episode. And it's really unnerving in a way that Family Guy never is, because you're never invested in the Family Guy characters the way you are invested in the Simpsons characters.
You know, morbidly curious, I lit up a recent episode of The Simpsons a couple months ago on, because it's all on Disney Plus and it's in 4K HDR widescreen, brand new. The new episodes,
Look fantastic. The old ones look like trash.
Yeah, have you noticed the old ones are like AI upscaled too?
Yeah, they're awful.
Yeah, it's really weird. They definitely AI upscaled it.
They're like AI upscaled like 10 years ago.
It's really disturbing.
Bad. It's really, really strange. But I put on a newer episode. And I don't want to say too much because that would be doing work for free. I noticed at least 12 like first year creative writing mistakes, like flat out mistakes in like the first minute. And I was like, I got to stop. I can't do this. Like, I don't know who's writing that stuff now.
Nobody knows.
I think I mentioned we recently over here, we rewatched seasons 1 through 9 of The Simpsons just here and there. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was fun to realize, oh, I've seen literally every single one of these, right? It's it's not a part of my cultural vocabulary at all. But
just I've absorbed it.
Yeah, I've seen them all and kind of let it go through me. There's not a single Story of Everest moment in all of the first 9 seasons of The Simpsons.
There's some hot jokes in there.
It's a thing. I like Conan O'Brien as a guy. I think that guy's funny. But we recently rewatched those, so it was I was like, well, I gotta see what the bad episodes are like. And I was gonna ask Alex Jaffe or Google, when do people all unanimously agree The Simpsons got bad? And then I decided instead, I don't need to know. And I just skipped to the most recently aired episode and watched it and was like, wow.
Yeah, because everyone would pretty much agree with that, I would say.
Yeah, it was ballistic. It was an assault. It was weird.
And yet somebody is still watching those.
Yeah,
still on TV.
It's like
primetime television.
You know, the last vestiges of my default state is watching whatever's on TV. Like, that has to be the only people watching this show at this point.
Mm-hmm. You know, my parents' house in Indianapolis, Indiana, they've got a TV in every room and they're all on all the time. And they're just tuned to different channels.
I feel like I would have an aneurysm.
Oh, yeah.
I had the opposite reaction, which is like, that sounds like a peaceful existence.
No.
Turn off and whatever's on that screen. You just go, that's what time it is.
Living like a dog left at home alone.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have I mean, not to paint the bonus episode listener's impression of my parents as having lots and lots of rooms. They have a bedroom, a living room, and a dining room. And in each one, there is a comically small HDTV. Like a Black Friday HD.
What is up with that? Why do our parents have tiny TVs?
They're $100 at Costco. It's only $100. We got this for $129 last Christmas. It's like okay,
but like $180, you can double the size.
Yeah, I know.
No, but they already have that TV.
Yeah,
that's
but it's
what
$60
it is.
More.
My dad has something similar in the living room. Something similar to what Brandon has behind him on his webcam view, except the opening is a lot smaller. And instead of being filled with video games, I understand your unit behind you is not one piece, but my dad's is. It's all one huge thing.
It is technically one huge thing.
Are all the shelves with the video games part of it?
Oh, these shelves? No, they're not part of it.
Oh, okay. Well, imagine if they were. My dad has around the TV. It's this huge thing. We bought this at the discount furniture store. This was only $900. It's like my parents don't realize that they're like decently middle class. And it's like, this was only $900. It's like, yeah, that's a lot for
that's a lot of money. That's a lot more than I would pay.
You should get something at IKEA. Oh, we can't afford to shop there. It's like, are you okay? What do you think IKEA is? Oh, it's not American. not to describe my parents as in any like conservative terms. They're normal people. Here in New York, as a white person from the Midwest, whenever I meet other white people from the Midwest in the wild, all they want to do is talk about, oh, my parents are so racist. And that's I never have anything to share because mine aren't. But anyway, they think IKEA is foreign.
It is.
Sure. But they also think that means it's expensive. They think foreign like a BMW.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But anyway, he's got this tiny thing, and it's all filled with baby photos of their grandchildren, like a phone book's worth of baby photos of the grandchildren. And I'm like, you know, you could get a huge. And then me and him go to Costco every time I'm in town. He's like, you want to go to Costco with me? I'm getting groceries for your mom. I'm like, okay. And we go in there, And he's like, we stop at the TVs and he goes, oh, look at that. How big is that one? Oh, 65. Oh, that's pretty big. I'm like, I got a 77 of this same one. He goes, really? And he goes, is that the 77 right there? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, that's pretty good. Oh, it's probably too big. I'm like, no, it's not too big. What about this 83? That's definitely too big. No, that's not too big either, Dad. He's like, yeah, it'd probably be pretty good. I'm like, well, why don't you get rid of that big old thing? Have somebody mount it on the wall. No, we can't. As your mother wants those photos. Those are her babies. Those are her grandbabies. She needs those photos. It's like, man, those kids come over to that house every other day and they got to see hundreds and hundreds of photos of themselves as babies. They're like, one of them's in college now. The other one will be in college next year.
A baby in college?
Another one will be in college the year after that. They're doing triple college 3 years in a row.
Ooh.
Right? I don't know. One of them likes Taylor Swift. One of them's in their Beatles phase. The other one's in college. And there's just photos of them 3 days old, 4 days old, 6 days old, 12 days old. Somebody needs to go into that living room and start telling a story about climbing Mount Everest is all I'm going to say. maybe it'll be me. I got to climb Mount Everest so I can stand in front of their TV and start telling the story about how I climbed Mount Everest.
I think it's time for us to summit this podcast.
It's the end of my joke there. Yeah. I hope Frank understands that. The photos are very precariously perched on the shelf is what I'm saying. Yeah. And there's lots and lots of them.
Yep.
All right.
I know this situation. Yes.
Let's start the show. How about that? Let's do that.
Okay. Okie dokie. I do think that if I get a little more money, I should buy some better field recording stuff. I do. My friend sent me a good portable device that I can plug a microphone into. I mean, he sent me the information about it. He didn't send me one. If he had sent me one, I would be using it.
Mean like a recording device? So I see you saying in the chat, is $500 of my own money? Is it worth $500 of your own money to have better sound? I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
And this is something I think I've said several times before with regards to YouTube videos and podcasts and everything. There are people out there who will tell you they don't care how it sounds. There are people out there who say they don't mind how something sounds. And there are people out there who will say, sounds good to me. All of those people would love it if it sounded a lot better.
Of course. No,
nobody would not love it if it sounded a lot better. Everybody notices whether they say anything or not, they feel it.
Yeah. There's no ambiguity there whatsoever.
Yeah. Just in case you were wondering about that part.
Yeah.
I know you like to go out there and ask people what they think of such and such.
Yeah.
If you ask anybody about it and they say they don't mind, maybe they do.
I know about it for the audio quality, certainly. I think whether people like the segment period is something I'm a bit waffly about. And so
maybe if they don't like the segment as much as you would, like the idea of them liking the segment, maybe the audio quality has something to do with it, is part of what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I believe that is correct.
It's like maybe the reception would suddenly explode if, you know, there's a possibility it would just expose.
The skeleton was rotten to begin with.
My impression is that more people really like it than don't like it, but with better audio quality, even more people would really like it than not like it.
Or perhaps even more people would not like it. They would be like, why does this sound so good? I don't like it.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you make this thing I don't like more remarkably better quality?
Yeah, I might just go. We'll see how much I get from selling records this weekend.
Write it off your taxes.
It would be a tax write off technically.
Yeah, it would. Well, yeah, but it's not like you write off. You spend $500 and then you write off $500. You get like $80 back off that.
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, it's still a write off.
It's true. No, it's true, and it winds up to yeah. But regardless, it is also $500. So I have to. It's basically there's a portable.
I'd recommend the thing I got, but I've got a setup that's about $12,000. So I can't really help you there.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. This is from my friend who does. Oh, it is a Zoom. Yeah, Zoom F3. Zooms are
good, yeah. I hate that there's now Zoom just means Skype.
yeah.
Whereas usually, you know, back in my band days, Zoom was just a type of field recorder you could plug an XLR microphone into usually. And they have built-in mics that are nice.
What I said once I finally released the button after hitting it several times while trying to speed Sonic up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For me, it was what I said after one of these days, Atlas.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're going to abuse your wife.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. That gave the message.
The important thing is that he didn't actually abuse her after saying it. He just said he would.
Well, right. technically
only,
I guess
it was only psychological abuse.
Yeah, it's emotional abuse only, not physical.
Yeah, but he didn't do the thing he was saying he was going to do is what I'm saying.
All right. Is everybody ready to do the show? No, Frank's not here. Frank, are you here?
Frank's
dead. Okay.
Frank's dead.
All right.
Oh,
I'm going to...
my video. I was...
All right. Everybody's recording?
Eating cake, so I didn't think anyone wanted to see
cake.
That.
What kind of cake you got?
Whose birthday is it?
You're eating cake?
Kevin Wilson's birthday.
Kevin Wilson's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Kevin Wilson.
That guy.
And I don't always partake, but he really likes the flourless chocolate cake from the Mariposa Bakery.
Oh, yeah, Mariposa.
Which I really like.
That's an expensive cake, so you got to at least give it a shot.
Exactly. And you can see the very reasonable size of the, because, as you might know, this is a very dense
cake. Wait, let me see that cake. Yeah. Sorry, I was looking at my work.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, that's reasonably sized.
I mean, you can see the eating, the part that I already ate.
On a large plate.
This is not a large plate. It's a very small plate, like my hands.
I don't know. I thought maybe you have huge hands. I can hold a large plate and I know too much about camera lenses now, and I know that I can make a large plate look pretty small.
Here we go. Here we go. You ready?
Oh, that's better. There you go. The old for reference trick.
Yeah.
So you're eating a cake. I'm drinking a Coke.
I got a coffee, too.
Oh, God. I'm going to get a coffee after this. It's 70 degrees outside here in New York City.
I know. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's not go that far.
I want to get some possible bonus content in here.
But yeah, all right.
Just real quick, because I do want to go at the end of this. So you're familiar with Sticker Mule?
Yes.
Yeah, they
Sticker Mule's where
they
I
make
print
stickers
stuff.
For you.
It's where
I
get my
stickers.
They
sponsor more popular podcasts than this.
Maybe I shouldn't.
Probably less popular ones too.
Okay, well, I got an email from them today. I'm on their email list because they do like maybe once a week. They're like, hey, this one type of thing is like on sale. And you know, it might be stickers or like a mailer. And they're so cheap that I order pretty much anything that they send me that has my logo on it because they end up being like a quarter each, you know, and I just have this stockpile of random swag because of it. That's why I'm on this list. So anyway, I got an email this morning.
You order your own stuff and they're like, this you can buy a bunch of things for your own product.
Yeah, we will print whatever you want on this week. It's magnets and you can get 50 of them for $19. You know, stuff like that. Like they have a weekly promo like that. And I've never upsold and been like, I like these so much, I'll order them at full price. Never happened. Never gonna happen. But anyway, I got an email this morning. The subject line just says paid referrals. Okay.
Oh, very good.
Hi, Frank. Stimulus, our happy social network, is giving away $10,000 in paid referrals every day this month. This is an email where Sticker Mule is asking me to refer people to the Sticker Mule social network. Stimulus in exchange for money.
Wow.
$10,000?
That's what they're giving away every day this month. In fact, if you click on the link that says that they have you know, hyperlinked the phrase $10,000 in paid referrals every day this month. You click on it, it takes you to a Stimulus login page.
Shoot.
Nice.
Well, so
if they want to give us $10,000 to advertise on their social network on Instagram
every
credit.
Day.
No.
Well, no.
They
don't
want to give us
$10,000.
They want to give us a chance at $10,000.
I know, but they should give us
$10,000 in paid referrals every day this month. I believe that they might give you like $10. As an individual.
10,
yeah.
Yeah.
So my point with this section is I'm going to send all three of you referral links. To sign up for stimulus with me where we can talk about stickers. This is the same company. This is the same company. Every order you get from them comes with sample packets of mule sauce, Mule's hot sauce.
Nope. Oh, I've seen this.
Yeah. This is like absolutely like, I don't know. I haven't looked into
this. This is an insane company.
This stinks of a CEO getting bored and being like, oh, I'll make a hot sauce now. What if we made a social network?
Right.
Yeah. So, heck.
Join Stimulus today, but use my referral code.
They might have too much money.
Oh, there's a referral leaderboard.
Ooh, really want to get on there.
Are you number one?
Whoa. Okay. Number one. Wait, actually, you can just see this. I'm just going to link it in chat. I want you to see the amount of referrals on this leaderboard.
Let me take a look.
The stimulus.
Take a look.
I'm going to have one of you, I don't care who, reads the name and bio of number one.
Number one is Latrice Allen. I'm Latrice Allen, the famous entertainer.
Very good.
That's pretty famous.
And how many referrals has she
5,923.
Famous entertainer Latrice Allen has referred 5,923 people to Stimulus, the Sticker Mule social network.
I need to figure out who Latrice Allen is.
Seems like you can crack the top 100 by just referring 15 people.
I just want to say the top 5 person is using a Snapchat filter. Number 5 in the top 5 is using a Snapchat filter from like 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's also interesting that the overwhelming majority of these referral people are women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. The whole top 10 is, and the whole
number 13 appears male, maybe. Tay-Tay.
Mm-hmm. I believe it might have changed.
And Tay-Tay's bio just says, let's get money.
Let's get money.
Sure.
They have made two, whatever you call, posts to Stimulus. The first one says, let me get a link. I do affiliate marketing so I can run it up. Mm-hmm. The second of two posts, both of these March 1st, God is good all the time. My dream is for everybody to be financially free.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling down just the main Stimulus webpage, and it's
isn't it all referrals? Yeah.
It's all Jesus and money.
Yeah.
Oh, number 65 is Mother 2 just having it my way. Oh, no, that's Mother of 2 just having it my way. Oh,
very good.
I did find I was scrolling down and I stopped at this fellow, Matthew Schaffner, whose bio is in all caps, VHS tape.
Yeah, very good.
What's that mean?
Yeah.
I believe this is just a pyramid scheme. Every one of these referrals.
Oh, yeah. I think if we enlisted all of our listeners, we could get on top of the referral leaderboard here.
So, in fact, if you look on the upper right, it's just giveaways.
Yeah.
$100.
I'm looking at Latrice's feed here, though, and she's got some food stuff.
Seafood vibes, yeah.
She's got some like women empowerment memes. So she's almost actually using it.
Yeah, she might be the only one.
Well, she's
but she does also have just several pictures of money.
Yeah.
And saying thanks for the money, Sticker Mule.
Yeah, it is absolutely.
And also, I mean, I got to the end of her feed already. It wasn't that long.
Yeah.
She's made like 30 posts over the last month and a half. Some of them look like social media posts.
Good for her.
But yeah, I got my giveaway win from Stimulus from her.
Yeah.
As always, God is right on time. So, amen.
Join the happy social network.
So
Think about it.
It's some sort of Christian pyramid scheme, I guess.
Yeah.
A pyramid scheme.
A pyramid scheme. God's at the top. So let there be no mistake.
If not a Christian pyramid scheme, what's a good Christian building type that's not a pyramid? And I'm like, I don't know. Who cares? I guess.
A steeple scheme?
Yeah, well, I mean, a cathedral scheme or like whatever I was trying to think of. And it's like
a big tower thing that they made that tower thing in the Old Testament.
The Leaning Tower, the Tower of Babel scheme.
Yeah,
well, that's a bad thing.
Old Testament
is not
that's not Christian.
It's not as Christian as all of the all of the AD stuff.
What about like a door with a scarlet A on it?
That's Puritans, okay? That's a different type of, it's a very specific type of Christian. Not only that, you know, I know you take pride in not knowing much about Christians, but it's a particular and very defunct form of Christianity. just to throw that out
there. But it's
also
kind of the foundation of America, of white America, is parenthood.
I mean, you could try to say that.
I just tried to.
Yeah, I know. That's you did. I know. That's what I'm stating facts here, which is that you could try to if you wanted to. You could try to say that. I think there's a lot of other things contributing to modern American Christianity and modern American conservatism than just the fact that Hester Prynne got an A on her shirt.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't trying to say such, that was and all
such.
Of it.
I'm saying and such.
I think Christians believe that the Old Testament happened on Earth 2 before the Anti-Monitor. Mm. So with a new continuity, you can just kind of jump in as a new reader.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that was mainly for Frank.
Thank you.
You want to get back to the show?
Yeah. Sure.
Here we go.
Esper, if you want to throw a squad-a-law in here somewhere, just somewhere randomly, that would be funny.
It's very funny. It's definitely some like.
You could put it in before, like several times before Tim starts talking about it.
It's like there's a.
Put it in instead of the buzzer.
There's just like, you got to imagine like who came up with that word. It was probably some guy, some old guy who was like, I'm going to write some dialogue for this old court wizard.
And also, Jaffe, you haven't seen it, right? So you don't know.
I've never seen that specific clip from the game, no.
There's because an old wizard.
And he appears. He just like blorps into existence and says, squadala! And it's like the act of him just like apparating.
Maybe I did see it, but if I did, it didn't leave an impression on me.
There's this.
I don't know how that's possible.
That's not possible. It's there's this really unique the signature to the man's voice. This feathering on the end of the ah, right. Squadala, like the way the ah kind of crackles
right,
out.
I gotta look it up right now.
Just watch some old YTPs of those games.
Okay, so we do know.
Oh, I got it. Yeah.
And you'll encounter squad-a-laws all over the place.
Squad-a-la. Yeah, that's
it. We do know the name of the scriptwriter.
Of the C.D.I. Zeldas?
Yeah, the inventor of squad-a-la is named Jonathan Merritt. I'm going to link you to his Moby Games, which is nothing but C.D.I. stuff.
A man with
this memory. Guy sounds like he rules.
There you go. You wrote please link us. Mutant Rampage Body Slam, Laser Lords.
Laser Lords, bro.
Sargon Chess. Oh, I hope all the
Sargon Chess is a good one, actually. He wrote the script for Sargon in that, actually. I knew that off the top of my head. That Jonathan Merritt wrote the
animation magic.
Do you think Jonathan
I'm going to try to LinkedIn this guy using my very expensive recruiter tools.
Frank, can you find out if Jonathan Merritt is related to Abraham Merritt, the famous pulp sci-fi writer who's one of
probably
my top 10
not,
favorite.
But
he could be. You never know. You never know.
He wrote an Wonderland, non-American McGee Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, just a regular.
I didn't know.
You know, I'm going to be honest. Regular Alice in Wonderland kind of doesn't do it for me. I'd like it a little violent. I prefer my Wonderland a little tastier. You know,
I prefer my fairy tales a little fractured.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. God, that's basically the hot sauce of storytelling.
Yeah.
Is morbid fairy tales.
Man, yeah. I love the cover of Laser Lords.
Laser Lords rules.
Where it's got that
oh, that's good.
That lizardy fella with
that's one of my that laser favorite CDI box arts easily.
It's so good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good box art, man.
I do want to eat food, but I really want to see if I can find this guy.
Find the guy.
Jonathan Merritt? God, what's the... Okay, so first
of
all...
Do you think Jonathan Merritt is related to Merritt K?
Before anyone goes...
No.
First, what's the first word you think? We're going to do a little free word association, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody, have your eyes on the host-only chat. I want you to say the first word that comes to mind when you see the image that I'm about to post, okay?
Okay.
You ready? All right, what is it?
Squad-a-la.
Yeah, squad-a-la,
right?
Squad-a-la. That's the only word.
Even if I had not heard anything that happened in this episode, I think I just would have spontaneously said squad-a-la.
It's interesting.
Does that dude have two left hands right there, it appears?
It's the mark of a true
wizard. is what he would probably say if asked a question. People in this game love to like warm up to the first word of a sentence.
They got to ramp up to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
The CD starts like overdriving. Before they're waiting for the CD to like
spin out.
Yeah. It's some sort of.
That's what happens when you're playing a video game on a Dutch video game console. That's the. It's
can
the
we
only
start making
Dutch
fun of Dutch
console.
People in here?
Yeah.
Tim, I know.
Yeah. The CDI stands for Crazy Dutch Interactive.
Crazy Dutch Interactive. Crazy Dutch, more like in the Dutch land, that's just what they call a Dutch person. Am I right? Oh, they're so wacky over there.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about the Dutch.
Yeah.
What can we joke about with Dutch people? Why don't they, have they never learned how to make leather shoes?
Yeah.
Just walking around and like windmills?
Always falling into canals.
Yeah. I don't trust the Dutch because they're always dressing up in costumes to get my cereal.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I could buy the Keebler Elves being Dutch.
Right. Find him sometime later, though, if you'd like.
Yeah. Oh, we're taking next week off, but the week after I'm giving you all a homework assignment. I want you to come back with an interesting person from video games you want to talk about, because a big thing in this show is talking about people in video games who aren't Kojima or Miyamoto.
A homework assignment to just generally do what we typically do. Why not?
Yeah. Just each of you bring up a topic. Hey, this is who I want to talk about this week.
I would like for you to please remind me on Monday.
Yeah, I'm
going to
forget.
25th.
Yeah,
like I will send you messages.
Frank, you already have yours.
I do.
Yeah, you got it.
That's right.
It's Jonathan Merritt.
Yeah, we're going to find this guy.
You're going to find him.
That's what reminded me to bring it up. Yeah.
We're going to drop
him an
email.
I'll send you reminders in a week.
We're going to get him on the show.
Yeah.
God, it would be so funny if he's like really like racist and like insane.
I was just thinking that.
That's just basically how any of these video game developers you've never really, whose name you never knew that you finally look up and then you find their Facebook and
guys like friends with Doug Tennapel.
Oh yeah, dude.
This won't be my thing, but I was someone was talking about Ristar again, as sometimes people like to talk about Ristar. It's really good. And there are two game designers, game planners in it. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder which one of these guys is the weird one that does all the weird stuff. And I wasn't certain that there was going to be a weird guy. Like it could have been that there wasn't. But one of the guys just worked on a bunch of normal stuff after that, like Sonic Adventure 2 and Sonic and All-Stars Racing, Hatsune Miku, Altered Beast ports and stuff, just regular stuff. And then the other guy is Zaxxon's Mother Base 2000 on the 32X, Tempo, Nights into Dreams, Dog of Bay at Kavia.
Dog of Bay. Yeah, I know Dog of Bay, dude.
Winback 2 and then Fashion Dreamer. And it's like, well, okay, there's the weird one. that's the guy who put the weird stuff in Ristar, probably.
Has anybody here actually ever smoked all of Dog of Bay? Because I have.
No, not all.
I played that whole game. Me and my buddy played that whole game.
Takeshi Nimura. That's the weird one from the Ristar planning group, just so everybody knows.
Guy's probably dead.
Nimura is the guy. His last game was the new Fashion Dreamer in 2023, so he's not dead yet.
And maybe he perished immediately after. He might have passed away. Yeah. If you're looking up death, maybe look up. If you're looking up dead, maybe try Googling him with the phrases passed away or perished.
Okay. I'll look that up. I'll check it out.
Okay. Animation Magic was in Concord, Massachusetts.
Oh, I know where that is.
Oh, that's the one. Frank, that's the one other place that has the giant cheese wheel.
Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Squadala!
The executive producer of those games has a LinkedIn connection in common with me. That person is Brandon Sheffield.
Oh,
hey-o. Interesting.
Interesting.
Very nice.
I bet if I gave you his name, you'd be like, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, give it to me and I will find out if I bet I don't. Okay. But let me look it up.
Put it in chat here. You want his profile? Let's just all be on his LinkedIn profile.
Man, friggin' LinkedIn. Start a post. Try writing with AI. Thanks, LinkedIn.
No.
It's not really what
I want
to do.
What I'll say in LinkedIn's favor is that at least it's not Sticker Mule's social media site.
Stimulus?
Yeah, that's the one.
All right, here we go. Final. Yeah, I have no idea who this is. Who here still remembers the name of the famous entertainer on the Sticker Mules stimulus? Who remembers her name?
Oh shoot! Oh,
absolutely, I don't.
Absolutely not.
No, it's gone.
It's incredible. Gone
I'm sure you do.
Famous entertainer. I remember her name, but we'll leave it off.
Yeah.
We don't want to make fun of anybody.